Well, good morning.
I would just like to point out that, yes, Kara and I won the chili cook-off. I'm also one half of the champion cornhole winners. I've won with Michael Smith. I've won with Mike McCann. I've won with Corey Nichols. And there's a common denominator within all that. It's me. So you want to be a winner, you partner with me in something, we'll take you to the champion. I'm going to go down to the Brian First Brethren Church Hall of Fame for so many wins. Just joking. We don't even have a Hall of Fame. But if we did, I'd be there. But anyways, maybe that's the next action I take. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm going out winning. No, I'm just joking. I'm kidding. I like to have a lot of fun. I'm a competitive person, and I like to have a lot of fun. And Kara actually just turned to me, and she said, hey, us winning, you know, you taking credit for winning the chili cook-offs, like me helping you build that swing set that we just built this weekend. She's like, I didn't help very much. But anyways, hey, a recent study showed that between 2009 and 2013, nearly 2,000 deaths in hospitals and doctor's offices across the nations could have been avoided by better communication. The study conducted by CRICO, Controlled Risk Insurance Company, looked at more than 7,000 malpractice cases where communication failure was a factor. In these medical cases, information that was forgotten, miscommunicated, misdirected, misunderstood, or never received cost people their lives. And we actually just went through this with my dad this past week. If you were on the prayer chain or whatever, you saw that my dad had emergency surgery to put a pacemaker in. He's 59 years old. And this was stemming back from a year ago when he had a sleep study done and the doctor never called him. And so in a 48-hour period when my dad had the sleep study done, from 48 hours, between 200 and 250 times, my dad's heart would stop from either anywhere between 2 seconds all the way up to 8 seconds. And apparently the doctor didn't think that was very important, or he needed to had a cause until my dad called to schedule his other sleep study with the heart doctor, and they're like, you need to get in the office like right now. And so he went in and had a pacemaker put in. I guess my dad's an engineer on the railroad, and I guess they think that if something would happen and a train just is barreling down the tracks without a driver, it would be kind of bad, and they're probably right. And so my dad is doing well. He's doing great, and so they got taken care of. But if something could have happened, it would have been because of lack of communication, right? And fortunately, most of the communication issues we face in relationships are not a matter of life or death, right? But communication can mean life or death for a relationship itself. Good communication is the lifeblood of relationships, and without it, relationships cannot survive. A man and his wife were having some problems at home, and were giving each other the silent treatment. I'm sure none of you married folks do that in here. But suddenly, the man realized that the next day, he would need his wife to wake him up at 5 a.m. for an early morning business flight. Not wanting to be the first to break the silence and lose, I understand that, I'm rare, he wrote on a piece of paper, please wake me at 5 a.m. And he left it where he knew his wife would find it. The next morning, the man woke up only to discover it was 9 a.m. and he had missed his flight. And furious, he was about to go and see why his wife hadn't woken him up when he noticed a piece of paper by the bed. The paper said, it's 5 a.m., wake up. That sounds like a story right out of my life, but it hasn't happened yet. I'm sure it will. Even Jesus prioritized communication. He took time to talk with it and listen to his heavenly Father. Luke 5, chapter 16 says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. There was that communication. And Mark 1, 35 says, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. The Gospels also record many times when Jesus took time to walk, talk, share a meal with his disciples. Jesus demonstrated that continued communication was vital in his relationships with the Father and with the people he cared about deeply. While we know it's important, communication is often a huge challenge for us in relationships, isn't it? Couples report that the number one problem they face in marriage is a breakdown in communication. Think about the important relationships in your life, whether with a spouse, someone you're dating, family members, friends, or colleagues at work. How would you rate your communication? Is there room for improvement? In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it's kind of our theme verse, we're told to, above all, love each other deeply. But in order to love deeply, we have to have good communication, right? So this morning we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about communication. We're going to be taking it in threes this morning. Three levels of communication, three qualities for better communication, and then lastly, three skills to improve communication. So we're going to jump right in. Communication can be broken down into three levels, and the first one is the grunt level. The grunt level. I would call this the caveman style of communication, right? Astronaut Michael Collins was speaking at a banquet when he quoted the estimate that the average man speaks, the words the average man speaks, 25,000 words a day. And the average woman, 30,000 words. Then Michael added, unfortunately, when I come home each day, I've spoken my 25,000, and my wife hasn't even started her 30,000. And all the ladies wonder why us guys spend a lot of time in the grunt level, right? This is the most shallow level of communication involving little more than the occasional comments that simply make your presence known. Some relationships fall into this level as a habit. You say the required things but never really listen to the other person. So the requisite how you doing is met with a predictable fine. That's it. That's all it goes. Some types of relationships stay at this level and don't expect to go any further, and that's fine. For a while, or for a certain casual acquaintance, right? And actually, the grunt level can provide a degree of comfort, even in close relationships, not having to say much, simply enjoying another person's presence. But if this goes on for long, the relationship cannot grow. And any depth that was there will quickly disappear. The people involved will drift and eventually not even know each other anymore. I think about my friends in college, the people I was close to in college. I barely keep in communication with a lot of them anymore. You know, we see each other through Facebook or something, but man, I don't know what's going on in their life really anymore. The second one. So we got the grunt level. The next one is the journalist level. This level involves talking about the facts and opinions. You may talk about politics, people, the church, movies, or sports. I sure thought that sermon was long today, or boring, right? Everybody's like, amen, yeah. Did you notice the temperature in that restaurant? People at the journalist level voice their opinions, explore the facts, but that's where it stops. Doesn't go any further. This kind of communication has its place but lacks intimacy or real connection. You're just reporting and discussing, and it won't always bring you closer together. The third one is the feelings level. The feelings level. A relationship reaches this level when each person involved feels safe enough to share areas of weakness or feelings that may put him or her in a bad light. In other words, you let your guard down. Communication at this level allows you to reveal your heart and speak your mind, knowing you'll be understood and accepted. At this level, people ask each other for input and help. They share their insecurities and their dreams. They feel known and connected deep down in their souls. And while we can't always expect to communicate at this level, we can generally enjoy the safety of this level more often than we think. While each of these levels hold values of some sort, the goal is to get to this third level on a regular basis. There's a basic principle that states good communication is built first on who you are and only later on what you do. You see, before practicing communication techniques, you need to work on communication qualities. You need to focus on first on who you are as a person. You can read all the articles, the books you can, attend workshops and see counselors that will teach you communication skills, but if you do not first focus on the qualities you possess as a partner in your relationships, your efforts will be of little consequence. Three levels of communication: grunt level, journalist level, and feelings level. Now, to enjoy rich communication and a rock-solid relationship, three personal qualities must be present. This is the next three. Three personal qualities that must be present. The first quality is warmth. Warmth. Every person you know came to you with a cluster of unacceptable qualities, right? Some of them you know. Many still to be discovered. Yet, when you commit to a relationship with someone, you choose to accept that person despite those faults, right? You choose to accept. You decide to embrace another person in spite of bad breath, blemishes, quirky behaviors, and weird inclinations. That is the stuff of personal warmth, overlooking a blemish for the sake of the beauty behind it. The key to personal warmth is acceptance. Rather than evaluating or requiring change, you simply accept the thoughts, feelings, and actions of the person you love. Now, warmth is not an approval of everything that person does, right? Warmth simply invites another human to be who they are. Relaxed, free, and at peace, it bolsters their confidence and keeps them from contorting their personalities into what you think you want it to be. Unconditional warmth invites God's grace into your relationship. There is security within the relationship because you are not constantly working for the approval of the other person. A couple married for 15 years began having more than the unusual disagreements. They wanted to make their marriage work and agreed on an idea the wife had. And so for 1 month, they planned to drop a slip in a fault box. The box would provide a place to let the other know about daily irritations. The wife was diligent in her efforts and approach, leaving the jelly top off the jar, wet towels on the bathroom floor, dirty socks not in the hamper, and on until the end of the month. After dinner at the end of the month, they exchanged boxes. The husband reflected on what he had done wrong. Then the wife opened her box and began reading. They were all the same. The message on each slip was, "I love you." Yeah, he got you, ladies. Warmth allows us to accept each other like Paul stated in Romans chapter 15, 7. Accept one another then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Warmth is this idea of safety and security within the relationship. The second quality is number two, is genuineness. With genuineness. Way back at the beginning of the Bible, the story of creation, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, it reads this. The man and his wife, talking about Adam and Eve, were both naked and they felt no shame. They were naked and felt no shame. Now, why on earth would I read a verse about two people being naked when talking about genuineness? Well, I believe that this verse not only talks about their physical state, but also their mental and spiritual states as well. It talks about authenticity and genuineness. This is the way it was meant to be before sin entered the world. Relationships bring out our radar detectors for phoniness, spotting fabricated feelings and insincere intentions long before they are openly expressed. Your partner, friend, family member, spouse or colleague will not trust you if he or she feels you are not genuine. Without genuineness, little else in a relationship matters. How is genuineness expressed? Not primarily in words. What you say is far less important than how you say it. With a smile, a shrug, a frown, or a glare. Consider this. Nonverbal communication accounts for 58% of the total message. 58% of the total message is nonverbal communication. Tone of voice makes up 35% of the message. The actual words you say account only for 7% of the total message. Genuineness is expressed in your tone and nonverbal behavior, your eyes and your posture. And research has found that husbands and wives are very accurate interpreters of their spouse's nonverbal communication. An acquaintance may not notice a subtle change in your facial expressions, but your spouse will, right? You follow me? I know when my wife, Kara, what she's saying to me with a look, right? Just by the look she gives me, a glare means that I've done something wrong and I better shut up, right? A smile, I'm pretty sure that means that she thinks I'm dead sexy. That's just, I'm pretty accurate in that interpretation. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Smiling at me right now. You can shower someone with love, but if you're not authentic, the love is hollow. You can use all the communication techniques in the world, but if you aren't genuine, they won't work. Authenticity is something you are, not something you do. It comes from the heart, not the hands. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8, said this, I am not commanding you, but I want you to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. Test your sincerity. See how it matches up with how other people are sincere. The third quality that we have is number three is empathy. Empathy, and we talked last week about how understanding our unique personalities can lead to empathy, right? Remember that? This week we take that a step further to say that empathy is a quality we all need in order to develop and maintain meaningful relationships. Empathy shows that we share and understand another person's feelings. It requires a state of being as well as a practice skill. Author Stephen Covey described it like this. In empathetic listening, you listen with your ears, but you also, and more importantly, listen with your eyes and heart. You listen for feeling, for meaning. You listen for behavior. You listen with your right brain as well as your left. You sense, you feel, you're dealing with the reality inside another person's head and heart. You're listening to understand. You're focused on receiving the deep communication of another human soul. Empathy is what Paul was talking about in Galatians 6:2, and we talked a little bit about this last week when he instructed us to carry each other's burdens, coming alongside each other, empathizing with each other. When we do this, we show empathy and open the door to deeper relationships. Once we have established the personal qualities needed for good communication, some basic skills go a long way in building relationships. And so here are three skills to help you improve relationships, improve your relationships. And the first one is listening well. Listening well. A sage once said that the Lord gave us two ears and one mouth, and that ratio ought to tell us something. The Lord gave us two ears and one mouth, and that ratio ought to tell us something. That's a pretty good point. You see, often we think about learning good communication skills as learning to express ourselves more clearly, right? Getting our message across. In fact, however, 98% of good communication is listening. If you can hear, you can listen, right? Wrong. Hearing is passive. Listening is active. You're actively interacting with a message by reflecting it back to the sender. Effective listening is a simple habit to develop, but it can be difficult to learn because in situations where it is most important, we're usually more focused on what we're going to say next than we are in listening to the message being told to us, right? You follow me? I do that all the time. Somebody's talking to me, I'm getting right here how I'm going to respond. I don't even care what he's saying anymore, you know? In his book, Life Together, Dietrich Bonhoeffer talked about the ministry of listening, and he gave us something to avoid, a kind of listening with half an ear that presumes already to know what the other person has to say. This, he said, is an impatient, inattentive listening that is only waiting for a chance to speak. The point of reflective listening is to let your partner know that you have heard what they say and that you understand their message. This type of listening doesn't mean you never speak, but it does mean that you prioritize listening first. Just as James instructed us to be quick to listen and slow to speak. The second skill to improve is, number two, is kind words, speaking kind words. Last summer, Kara and I had the opportunity, we went to the beach water park down in Cincinnati with our kids and my parents, and Kara and I were hanging out with the kids in the wave pool, and we're having fun, and all of a sudden Kara says to me, hey Brent, why don't you look like that guy? And I look up, and there's this huge, muscular guy walking in. Like, this dude was ripped. Like, I don't even think he could touch his back because his muscles were so big, and he was like walking in, like all big and bad. And as soon as she said that, I looked up and saw, and not any quicker than I say, well, because if I looked like that, I probably wouldn't be married to you. That was a good one, though, right? So I'm sure she smacked me and we laughed. But speaking kind words, right? Speaking kind words. And she was saying, she was being mean first. She was saying I wasn't muscular. I'm ripped. Look at me. It's just a different kind of muscle, table muscle. Hey, the Apostle Paul had a lot to say to the early church about how they should relate to each other. Like them, all of us today need to learn to encourage each other and build each other up as the body of Christ and as people who long to experience deep love in our relationships. The skill of speaking encouragement is vital. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the matured body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Speaking the truth in love is not always easy. But as we learn the skill of clearly speaking, encouraging words to others, our relationships will be strengthened. And the last skill to improve on, and probably the most needed in today's culture, is powering down. Powering down. Ready for some startling news? Couples who engage in discussions with their phones nearby, even if neither is actually using it, report lower relationship quality and feel their partner is less empathetic to their concerns. That's crazy, right? Couples who engage in discussions with their phones nearby, even if neither is actually using it, report lower relationship quality and feel their partner is less empathetic to their concerns. Ouch. This is hard to hear, but research shows that our laptops, tablets, phones, and even smartwatches and the social media platforms they support have the potential to interfere with relationship building. In fact, 65% of people sleep next to their phones. And 20% of people would rather go shoeless for a week than take a break from their phones. That's crazy. That's crazy. I guess that's why comedian Will Ferrell said, before you get married, ask yourself, is this the person you want to watch stare at their phone for the rest of their lives? Experts point to the fact that our gadgets provide a sense of instant gratification that stimulates our brain reward centers. You literally become addicted. Checking your phone becomes a compulsion. And the technology that provides endless connections ends up keeping us from being connected. So what can you do? Well, for starters, when you're having an important conversation or when you're sharing a meal, keep your phone out of sight. Keeping it out of sight will help keep it out of mind. Turn technology off and create the space for true connection that your relationships need. It's my hope and prayer that this series helps you avoid relationship casualties and that within your relationships you can truly experience a deep love. Will you pray with me? Father God, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together once again and to talk about our relationships and how they're important to you, and because they're important to you, they should be important to us. And Father, as we talk and laugh and dig into Scripture, Father, and just see that, man, there's areas that we need to work on. Nobody's perfect. And we all make mistakes, Father, but we're just trying to be honoring to you in our relationships, Father. And so it's our prayer that we can continue to discuss with each other and build those relationships, that we can communicate well with each other in our relationships as we communicate well with you. And that you'll just point out the areas that we need to work on in our relationships, Father, and that you can help mend those areas. And Father, that we can truly come together as a body, not only in our personal relationships, Father, but also the relationships of the church, as you have called us to reach out to this community here in Bryan and in the school systems, Father. And in order to do that, we need to be a close-knit family who care deeply about each other. And so, Father, help us to continue to do that. We just love you, and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.